Welcome to the Immerse podcast with your hosts, Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. As a collective, we are also the co-founders of Immerse Recovery, where we are building the home of recovery for everyday and world-class athletes. Our aim is to immerse you into education via our guests, bringing communities together, embracing positive change, and helping you to create solid habits that will yield the path for your health and longevity. As former sports people, we understand the importance of daily habit change, regular activity, optimal nutrition, sleep quality, and recovery strategies to optimise our daily performance. Our name, Immerse, represents all the elements of our ethos and it promotes a passionate message. We go again is our mantra. It symbolises the opportunity to achieve greatness through repetition, which in turn will allow you to recover quicker.
Ryan Smith, welcome to the Immerse podcast.
Thank you very
welcome,
much.
Brother. We've got quite a bit in common, mate.
We have, mate. We certainly
Bradford
have.
Lads.
Yeah.
Former rugby players. Uh-huh. Performance coaches and health coaches. Yeah. Guinness World Record holders.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Practically Siamese twins.
That's it.
Separated at birth, me and Rama.
You've got slightly better looks than me, but anyway.
Oh, I don't know. The handsome man of Bradford. Oh, that's why I moved, so I could just take the edge out to leave the country.
Yeah, let's start there. World record.
Yeah.
In burpees. Mm-hmm. That's some feat, isn't it? You know, a lot of people go, oh, when you mention burpees.
Even yeah. just doing 10.
And, you know, it's hard to just to get people, yeah, like you said, to get people to do 10 reps in a class.
Absolutely.
What did you have to do? How long was it for?
So I decided to do 12 hours of burpees to beat what was then the current world record. It was about 4 years ago. I've recovered yesterday, I think, still feeling the effects of it. And yeah, it was just kind of, I kind of got known for doing burpees in my training. I don't like them like anyone. I suppose it was just something I started doing a lot of and got known a little bit as the burpee guy. So one drunken night out, me and a friend, we spoke about doing a world record and burpees come into play, and that was it. One conversation, right, it's got to be burpees. And then this drunken conversation turned into doing 12 hours of burpees, a few Google searches, seeing what had happened. And then the day after, me putting it public, and this training started. And yeah, decided to put myself through hell for 12 hours in terms of doing that.
And what was the number that you had to reach?
I had to beat the current world record then. Some guy in America had done 5,454, if I'm not mistaken. And I had to clear that by at least 100 burpees, I think, for it to be an official world record.
Why 100?
I don't know. I were happy with one.
give a take.
When you go in a world record, there's a lot of different strange things what they need to justify it being a world record. That one of the things in the massive list they send you. So I managed to do 4,777. It's a number I remember, and I'll tell you why. I did it on the 7th of September at 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. that same day, with it being 12 hours, and 7 was always my rugby number when I was playing, my squad number. And I remember beating the world record with an hour to go during the event, and someone said, what are you going to do? What are you going to finish on? Well, I said, well, I have to clear 100, I think, or whatever it was. So I beat the world record. I went to the back of the room, had a beer as an early celebration, which isn't a good idea, and said, right, I'll finish on 4,777. Is that a little bit of a, but one obviously a number what meant a little bit to me, and obviously on the day, and it was just a bit of a statement to do that. But I probably could have carried on and should have done, and then saved someone from beating it and then wanting to have to do it again. But yeah, we left it at that number on that day.
That's some effort. What were going through your mind? Were you having some dark moments?
Massively. I had from the training itself. So basically, when we started the training, it's kind of a hard thing to train for as such. Obviously, a hell of a lot of burpees, hell of a lot of heat eating, because you're having to pile in the calories to have enough energy to get through. You can't be eating when you're jumping up and down on the floor. And then putting myself in some pretty dark places just during the training. So many times I nearly threw in the towel. But I did the actual event for a young boy who had neuroblastoma, a young kid from Portugal called Luis. So had that sentimental factor. I wanted to do well for him, and obviously that kept pulling me through in some of them darker moments, which there was plenty of them. Unfortunately, Louis, he lost his fight with neuroblastoma last week, and it's kind of triggered me to potentially do something again. But during that time, it definitely helped me through, knowing that there's sort of, no matter how bad I was suffering, I just kept thinking, there's this young kid, 12, 13 years of age, he's already had 7 treatments of chemotherapy, his family, what they're going through. And I suppose something I've relayed to a lot of people in the past is when you're in them sort of dark, painful moments, there's always going to be someone who's struggling a little bit more than you. And I think that picked me up on more than a number of occasions. I think the worst one ever, I think I had about 4 weeks out since the main event. And I was in a bad way. I had a shoulder injury, elbow was on its way out just from all the burpees, repetitive exercise. And I was honestly going to pull the plug. I just got a new gym at the time, and we had a storm in Portugal, believe it or not. Sometimes it does, the weather can be shit. And I had a power cut in my gym. There were only me there. This was a 7-hour burpee session. All the lights went out. I was in complete darkness, just doing burpees up and down on my own. There were nobody there.
Nice.
So I only had my phone light, and I was scoring my burpees and going through. And I remember about 4 hours in, you can imagine, just torrential rain coming down. Lights have gone out on my own and just in the darkest place. And I think one thing out of all of that, it's definitely made me stronger, and that self-belief, because I had that many doubts during it. So many people saying, we don't think you should do it. Medical teams before going into it saying, we don't really know much about this. I had various scans, everything else, and people saying, we're not really backing you. And even your own family and friends putting doubts in your mind. Yeah. But I think I've always just enjoyed that challenge of seeing how far the human body can actually go. I kind of, if anything, I'm glad I did it for that reason, just to see how far I could go.
Has that changed you since then?
Yeah, I think it's been a big changing point in my life, and from where I am now, I think I learned a lot from that, massively.
Do you think people are capable of achieving them type of feats without the motivation of something much bigger than themselves?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think your average people can definitely achieve extraordinary things if you just set yourself to it. I don't claim to be anyone special. I'm just a Bradford boy, like we all are, and just somebody who's always wanted to be better than I was. I've never someone who won't accept being average. I always want to push a little bit further in everything I do. I don't want to be better than anyone else. Never have been. I just want to be as good as I possibly can be. And I think anyone with that sort of entrepreneurial mindset and the will to be better, you'll challenge yourself and you'll push yourself to places that beyond what you expect you can do yourself. But I honestly think, ordinary average people can do extraordinary things if they have a big why behind it. Obviously, yeah. I did there, and just that. I think sometimes
just about to say that.
Yeah,
I think there's got to be that other ultimate reason when you hit them really sticky, shitty spots.
Yeah,
because that is literally the turning point in it of I'm not doing this now. This is not safe. This is not worth it or whatever. But when you look at the reason why you're doing it, it gets you over the line, doesn't it?
Yeah, massively. Yeah, you've got to have, I think anything, you'll agree with me this on Rama, with your own clients and stuff, and you know yourself, you're in great shape, you've come a long way over the years and stayed there for a long time. You've always got to have something behind you, something that means more to you. And I think if you can keep hold of that and you can just keep pushing that, it will just help you overcome them toughest times in your life. I know you yourself, you've been through them, and I've been through plenty as well, especially doing what I've done and where I am now. And always having that bigger meaning you can relate back to, I think it's always been one of the biggest core drivers for me to be able to just carry on pushing forward through some tough times.
Yeah. I'm going to go slightly off topic. Obviously, you're in fantastic shape constantly, all year round. I'm an advocate of that too.
The Portuguese tan helps a lot.
Oh, that's all it is. Absolutely. Yeah. What's the best nutritional protocol, in your opinion?
I'm for me, I've just done the same thing with change. Well, I've done the same thing and tried a million other things. I've gone from being low carb, almost ketogenic. I've at 6 or 7 meals a day. I've done absolutely. I've tried and tested everything from being in obviously bodybuilding, from being performance. For me now, for me personally and the people I coach, I think it's just, it all comes down to sustainability. I think to get yourself in absolute epic shape, I think you have to massively tip the balance to get there. What I've realised over the years, a lot of people want to get in fantastic shape. They want to get themselves as, a lot of the guys I coach now, especially want to get as jacked as possible. It's obviously the beach body look, and the girls want to get bikini ready. Now, I think to get there, you have to take a hell of a lot of sacrifice compared to where most people are. So maybe, obviously, for me, it's all about hitting that daily protein requirement. Obviously, making sure you eat that day in, day out, no matter what, that being your main, most important thing. And then having the right, obviously, balance then of your fats and your carbs in there. If you want to get super lean, obviously keeping them a little bit lower, but always hitting that protein count. What I've realised over the years to get myself in that condition, I have so much more flexibility now. But I've built the body to get there, which I think, speaking with a lot of clients we have now, and I'm sure you'll agree, you'll get everybody who wants to come at you and get an epic shape in 6 to 8, 12 weeks, whatever it is, but not building the discipline required, not obviously taking and learning the habits that you need to create for yourself. Like, I can eat now if I really want. I eat instinctively. I don't weigh my food. I know looking at a plate of food pretty much is what's on there. Yeah, and I might only have, some days I might have 2 meals a day, but if I have them 2 meals, I know I'm going to get the right nutrition in there. So back to your question, what do I think is the best nutrition protocol to keep yourself in shape year round? It's just, if I will pinpoint things, it's got to be in your daily protein requirement, which is the most important. Obviously, getting your water intake, which I think is the biggest one for everyone, making sure you're getting enough water. The right amount of veggies, keeping your carbs moderate, but enough around your training. Specifically, me saying I'm going keto or I'm eating high carb, low carb, nothing in particular. But I think for me as well, I perform and look my best if I'm eating between 4 and 5 meals a day. But yeah. That's, I think, everything down in terms of nutrition, which I think most people find it hardest to stay in shape. It comes down to a psychological battle and them not setting themselves up with the right amount of discipline and not really having the nutritional knowledge as well. Because you know yourself, we can prep food and we can stay on track when we're out of his environment, or we don't have the right things in place. What you're going to do then when you have to go to the garage or you have to go to the supermarket? I think it all just comes down to knowledge and and experience and setting up the right amount of discipline.
It's managing expectations as well, isn't it? You know, some people will assume that if you know, they might see a coach like yourself or myself as, he's going to save me, he's going to help me get in shape. It's like, no, I'm not. You're going to have to turn these wheels. It's a lot of work that you've got to do. I'm just here to offer some support,
absolutely,
some accountability, and also a little bit of knowledge sprinkled in when you need it at the right time. But apart from that, there's a lot of work that has to be done for that individual, and it can take seasons and a few years for people to get it right, can't it? So
yeah, massive. You've hit the nail on the head there. I'm expectations and reality and personal standards are two, they're very different things, and a lot of people do. They raise their own personal expectations of where they should be, but they don't raise their own personal standards. And then what happens then is that people find themselves in that gap and they're always looking up. They're always looking up at where they should be or where somebody else is, where they're not. And when you're in the gap, you're stuck. You're stuck in between your expectations and your own personal standards. And most people will raise the personal standards to a certain place, but not high enough to get themselves where they can. There's not many people like, I admire Rama as well, and anybody, any man or any woman who can stay in shape for, let's say, 4 years. There's not many people you will find that can actually do that without yo-yoing through life. It's not an easy thing to do. And it's very easy to look from the outside for people who will see Rama and see the transformations and the likes of myself doing what we do. But trying to obtain that or understand what it takes to get there is a completely different thing in terms of personal standards and expectations.
Mm, absolutely. How long does it usually take you to hit the sweet spot with a client?
I've been known for getting people in shape in a fast amount of time. And I did talk about this just recently on my Instagram, and I openly held my hand up and said, yes, I might be known for getting people in very, very good shape in a very short amount of time, but there's a big difference to getting people in great shape and keeping them there. Mm. And I look,
we've all done that, though, haven't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, back in the time when I first started and I transitioned from being a face-to-face PT to an online coach, I did what a lot of coaches did. They did 8-week challenges, quick fix, because I wanted to show my knowledge, what I could potentially do within that time. And out of sort of 2,000 transformations, what I've done in that time, it's a very small percentage from years ago that those guys who've got in epic shape will still be there now. Mm. And I think this, and you'll agree with me here, Rama, is that it's not about how quick, the longer the journey it can take to get somebody in absolute fantastic shape, the better. There's more chance of them creating the discipline, the habits, and everything that they need, other than the sort of the fundamentals, what you need, diet, training. Okay, great. If anybody puts themselves into an 8 to 12 week mindset that they're going to go all in to get themselves in great shape, they can do it. Mm. Any average person can honestly do it. Mm. But then what? What happens when you go on holiday? What happens when you've got stresses at work? What happens when the kids are playing up? Mm. It's very easy for people to fall back into them old habits. So I'd say, I like to think now within sort of, we've 100%, within 6 months of any client that we bring in, no matter what the starting point was, we can change them in terms of mindset and not just body. And for them to be able to then go on, if we have to release the hand, and they can keep that, what they've gained within that time. And I think it's sometimes you find yourself banging heads, and everybody wants fast results in life, in success. We want overnight results, but unfortunately, it doesn't come that way. We know that.
It's refreshing, though, that there's lads like you two in the industry who are very much focused on the body and mind as a whole, rather than just the quick transformations, because you see it all the time, don't you? Mm-hmm. And
I think it's because we've had to learn as coaches, though, that it isn't actually the way, because you're not setting people up for long-term success. If we're trying to make an impression on life for people, it wants to be something that's sustainable for it. So we have to go through that journey, don't we, as coaches as well, and realise, oh, actually, when you see somebody who you've done great work with and seen the result that they've got, and then when you see the regression, you're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
So I take my time, I slow it right down, and I don't go with people now, unless they're on that wave. And I'll ride that with them.
Yeah.
But until then, I think you've got to go through that process as a coach, though, don't you?
You have to do it. If we strip it back, look, we've been in shape and we've been training for so many years. I think I first went to Planet Fitness gym at 12 years of age, and I've trained. I fell in love with that. Not a lot of people do that. Just to get people to, I think there's a lot of pressure on people thinking they have to fall in love with the process. Fuck, some days I hate it. Even now, I don't enjoy sometimes having to get to the gym and do it. I think you need to fall in love with the process. You're not going to fall in love daily with the grind. Not everybody's going to be wired to do that. And like I say, I openly admit, when I first started out in business, wanting to grow my business, I wanted fast results, but I knew I was doing something wrong. It's completely why I've transitioned over, just taking on a small group of clients now. I'm coaching mainly ex-athletes, career-driven individuals, people who want it but are struggling to do it because of time or the changing circumstances. And I'm not interested in taking anybody on unless they want that long-term goal. I want to get you in shape, I want to keep you in shape. Rama is obviously exactly the same sort of mindset. What's the point doing your hard work with someone in 8 to 12 weeks? You take it personally, yeah? I did it with all the clients that had fallen back. I've given you my all, but you've got to drag that. Most people haven't got the vision we have. You've got to sort of extend their own vision and say, look, this is what's possible, but it's not going to be possible in this amount of time. We need to be willing to play the long game here. Yeah.
So you've gone on that journey of growth yourself, haven't you? Like realising, you know, this is how I thought it should be done. Now this is how it's actually done.
Man, the amount of times I've failed in different things, in certain business, in body, in absolutely everything in life is countless. I've fallen down, and sometimes I just wouldn't accept that, didn't I? I used to really struggle
that ego.
I couldn't let go of that. Now I don't care. If I mess up, now I just look at it as another lesson. And if you can transition that over to your clients, and I think listening a lot more as well as a coach is mega important, because you can't just be like, I know best, this is what you do. I used to have that arrogance and ego many years ago, and if they didn't listen, they didn't get the results. You've got to take into consideration that people are not going to have the same mindset, they're not the same background, not the same environment. They're going to have different struggles, and people, we've been conditioned differently, sometimes through choice, sometimes just the way we've been brought up from kids. And I think as a good coach is somebody who's got the ability to listen and be willing to still learn. Even now, I'm sure you'll agree, Rama, years later, you'll never, in the health and fitness game especially, you never ever stop learning. Something I've definitely realised in the last sort of year to 2 year on my own personal journey is there's no point trying to be the smartest person in the room. You will go nowhere by doing that. You have to be willing to realise there's people that are a lot smarter than you. And if you want to keep progressing, there's other people that can definitely make your boat go faster as well.
Get around them.
Yeah.
Get around them.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, you made a massive life decision a few years back.
Yeah.
Quite a risky move, a bit of a ballsy move. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where you were and what brought you to the decision that you made, and then what is made of your life now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved to Portugal coming on now for 8 years ago. I'd visited Portugal. Family had been going out there for a few years prior. Kind of fell in love with the place. I'm one of those guys, and I won't be the first person to say this. You laid on a beach on holiday and go, I could do this. I could see myself living here. We've heard it, we've seen it, we've said it. We'll hear another 100 people say it when you're on holiday with them. But to actually do that and make it a reality is a different thing. But I put it in a mindset, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do this. And at the time, with my ex-wife, and we took the plunge. We decided to go all in. I had a pretty successful business here in roofing. I was playing semi-professional rugby at time on. I just retired by this point. I had things pretty good set up here, but I thought, what's the point selling? Let's take a chance here. Let's see what's going to happen. So I got an opportunity to go work out there as a personal trainer in what seemed to be a really successful gym inside quite a popular hotel in Portugal. Kind of took it a little bit of a whim. Didn't go into too much digging and delving, but I knew there was a lot of professional football teams that come there for pre-season, and I mean top level international teams, a really incredible setup. And I thought, this is a good opportunity. And I thought, you know what, let's just, what we got to lose. Sold everything up and took this opportunity, moved out there, only to find out probably about 6 months into the move that what I'd signed up to and what I thought was a great move in terms of a career change ended up to be dog shit's probably a bit too good a word for what I should say. Figured out that I got told I'd earn X amount. I'd be working on a commission basis, bit of a freelance type PT. You're going to be able to do this, that, and you've got obviously all access to these footballers. Turned out my hour actually getting paid about €4 an hour. I've just sold my life in England at this point, and not realise what I'd delved into. So I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't want any help. And I just thought, look, I've made this decision on my own. And at this point, every month, I'm seeing my bank balance, my savings go down and down. Took a bit of money away with there's nothing what could set you up for life. And you can imagine just taking this ballsy risk and thinking, I've made a mistake here in terms of the career move. And things started. I started struggling big time. But as I say, I were a little bit too proud. I wanted it to look to the outside world on my social media and everything else that things were all right, that things were going good. I'm training professional footballers and stuff. It was all a load of shit. It was made up. But I just wanted to put myself in a position where I've got to try and make this work now. So I took the decision probably 6 to 7 months in after what were happening. We'd see no growth, no future, where I wore in something, I thought this is going to be amazing, to take another chance while I was there and set up on my own. Now, the problem is I got advice off people. I didn't speak the language. I genuinely didn't know a single person out there apart from me and my wife at the time. I didn't have anything set up, and I wasn't even telling my parents and people back home what was going on. So I remember jumping on the phone at my dad and said, look, Dad, what? I eventually come around and tell him, this is what the situation is. And it was, I mean, do I go back home? What do I do? What's going to happen at this point? And I just decided to try start training people one-on-one in the villas, outside my house, in my garage, what I had then, and hopefully in a little bit more than €4 an hour and potentially be able to set something up. And I started to do this, and I was just bombarding social media every single day, Facebook. I'm to the point where my friends were taking the piss. God, we're sick of seeing you. We know you're riding the train and now you've gone out here every single day. But I just kept in my mind, at the end of the day, they're over here. They're not going to be paying my bills. They don't know what I'm going through right now, and I need to survive. It was, my back was up against the wall. I'm like, I want to be here. I don't want to be back on a cold roof in Bradford. I don't want to go back to playing rugby at this point. I need to survive. So I just kept going. People were laughing at me, but I've always had the mentality, just focus on what you need to do. I think if you're ever a little bit different, you'll have had this, I'm sure, in the past, even now, guys, and you're speaking out, you're doing something different. People are going to judge you. People are going to laugh at you. So 100%. Just fucking do it anyway. Who cares? Yeah. You're going to get yourself in front. And I eventually managed to build myself up in the space of another 6 months to having a waiting list of clients for 2 years long. Mm. People said, the Portuguese, what train were you? I were mainly Portuguese clients, expats, and then I just kind of started building on from there, from being on my €4 an hour to actually earning some money where I could actually survive out there and try and make something for myself.
How long was that journey then?
Still on it. I still think every single day now, guys, in all honesty. Don't get me wrong, I love coming back here, but what I was doing back here then, I knew I didn't want to do for the rest of my life. Mm. And I'm going to drop this in now anyway. It's something I said to one of the clients this week. I think we always get asked, where are you going to be in a year's time? Where are you going to be in 5 years' time? And we're expected to have this master plan. We're expected to know where we're going. And in all honesty, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. My mind changes week on week. Every day I've got a new idea. Laura's constantly laughing at me, thinking, God, when are you going to slow down? And I just asked myself this question at that point, and I said, where do I want to be in another year, in another 5 years' time? Who do I want to be? And when I asked myself that question, it just gave me so much more clarity on where I'm going. I didn't know where I wanted to be, but I knew where I didn't want to be. That's and then sort of that transition, let's say, from obviously coming away from the gym on my own, where I really built up, it were pretty fast, like, but I was completely relentless in my approach. As I say, my back was against the wall. I was coming to the point of being almost skint. I didn't want to come back to England. I wanted to make give this a good year, a couple of years of my time. Parents were like, look, if you have to come back, you're kind of like, no, it's not happening. So I suppose from being in Portugal to getting at the point where I built up a sort of a waiting list of clients and setting myself up to nearly getting my first gym at that point was sort of, one year, and I managed to just go kind of relentless and stick at it and pull myself out of the shit, let's say.
I think the message there is, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But like, as lads from a small town in West Yorkshire,
yeah,
there's all sorts of trappings and sort of, you know, boundaries on mindset and stuff like that. So it's, and I can relate because, you know, we're all doing things and we're all pushing it. But yeah. I mean, what makes you different from the rest to be able to go and think, okay, I'm going to Portugal.
Yeah, I suppose I've just always wanted to be more than what society or everybody else expects you to be. You have no idea how many of my best mates said, oh, you'll be back in a year. And I just kept quiet. I said, well, let's see. I will be back in a year. And I suppose there's that point to prove. There's never been a point to prove so much to anyone else. I think the war of initially, I kind of like that sort of negative talk off of other people. You won't make it.
Use it.
It ain't going to work. And I've always used that as a real fucking fire point for me to move forward. But I've just always, I've always stuck with the mentality that we are all super undershooting what we can actually actually achieve. I've always believed that, and I've probably done a couple of things where I've surprised myself. I'm like, you can say that, but until you've done something, like I always say, the only way you build confidence is by doing something you've not already done. And I suppose I've always been willing to take a chance on trying to do something. And I suppose the ball's a chance of moving abroad, selling your career and trying to make something work was in itself something massive, regardless what people behind you might be saying or want it to happen. I'm sure there were people who probably wanted me to fail at the time. And I've just used that as a driving force as well to just kind of knuckle down, dig in, and no matter what, just stick to my grounds, set up my own boundaries, and just keep going with a vision that I needed to be better. And I didn't want to be the Ryan I was here. I didn't want to do what I was doing there. I just knew, it might sound a bit much, but destined for more than just kind of staying as the Bradford boy and same as what everybody else were doing.
Yeah. What's the key to that, do you think, in terms of setting everything up for success? What do you need around you
to set yourself up for success? And this is the reason I rebranded, and that's what we call the name of the company now, Ready for Success, helping people become successful. I think firstly you need to figure out what success means to you. For me now, it's being able to travel freely when I want to do so. I'm in a position where we've been able to do that. Spend quality time with Laura, be able to come back and see my family whenever I want, and not be caught up on the same ideas of what I thought was successful back here, the materialistic things, having the best car, the best house. That doesn't mean anything to me. Now, for me, having the freedom, the time, the ability to work on myself spiritually, mentally, physically, every single day, that for me is what success means. It's going to be different for you. It's going to be different for you. It's going to be different for us all. I just think to be able to set yourself up for success, you need to be able to do a few things in order to do that. You need to look at your surroundings, I mean the people you're around. Do they serve you? Are they singing for you? Do these guys are going to pat you on the back when you're at your lowest? If they're not...
When you're on your way up.
When you're on your way up.
Some people just want to bring you back in.
Mate, there's so many people who want to bring you in. I've had to lose a lot of people over the years, and I know some people are completely still wanting, they're just waiting behind the wall, waiting for you to fail. Mm. And you see them people, I think there's been a number of people when I moved to Portugal, and they were already step ahead, already going businesses, and you could see by speaking, you can do well, giving you advice. And as you start growing, and you're almost outgrowing them, they change their attitude on you. And you need to be willing. It's tough sometimes that you're going to have to cut a few people out. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be willing to say no. I think it's the hardest two-letter in the world for anybody to say, but you have to be willing to say no and set your own boundaries to get yourself to where you want to be fundamentally, because if you're not willing to sacrifice and say no to certain things, you won't. You'll find yourself getting stuck. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just something I always do is check in with myself. Mm-hmm. Every single week, I pre-plan what's going to go on for the weekend. The first thing I plan in is the fun stuff, believe it. And as big as the business is, as many people as we're helping, I plan in what's exciting me in that week, because there's a lot of things in business and everything else I don't fucking like doing. I'll be completely honest, I don't want to do it. But if I have something to look forward to it each week, I've planned that in, I'll get them stuff done, I'll get them targets done. And I think being able to set yourself up and then have a look each week as well, as I was saying, what's gone well, what's not gone well, what could have gone better. I think you get a better understanding of you, your emotional state, your mentality, how you kind of focus and operate when your energy is good, when your energy is bad. And I think just by doing that, you can always make progressive steps rather than thinking, I feel shit today, I'll give up. Why do I feel shit? Why am I not feeling as good as I could do? What can I do to make myself feel better? And I've literally every single week, I've got notes. I spend 1 hour on a Sunday just doing this. Take an hour Sunday morning, make some notes, a little bit of journaling if you like. And I think that's been a big game changer in the last year for me, just to be able to keep progressing week on week.
There's something about that, isn't there? Just kind of getting out your head and onto paper. It's something magical about that, isn't there?
Yeah. I learn that way as well. Yeah. We were talking about that the other day, weren't we? Yeah. I learn through slowly actually writing it down, and it starts to embed itself into my mind more. You know, if you just listen to it on an audiobook, yeah. or, you know, you might read it, mm-hmm. and you can just fly right by it. And sometimes if I read a chapter in a book or whatever, I'm just like, what have I just read?
What's
there?
Just
yeah.
What went on? But if you take the time to write it down, it just seems to sink a little bit deeper, and it just seems to lock in that little bit more, and that's how I learn.
Yeah,
but I'm a bit of a slower thinker like that anyway. So.
I massively agree. I'm a slower. I found out I got diagnosed last year that I had ADHD, which kind of brought a few of my problems to light. Right? Like, say, understand it a little bit more about myself. I can't learn from books. I can't learn through that. When I started writing, it was an expression of, and obviously a release, but also learning back as well. Just reading back. I think there's no better something else what I do quite often, which has been a little bit of a game changer as well. I actually send voice notes to myself, and I listen to them back in terms of emotion. Sometimes when I need to give myself a kick up the arse and things that need sorting, things that need doing, there's no better voice than your own to elaborate a few things you need to hear. And I think that's massively helped me as well. Just WhatsApping VNs to myself. Quite sounds a bit weird when you're out doing a morning walk and you're listening to yourself again. All right, Ryan, things are going good.
Looking good this morning.
You've got to be your own best friend though as well, aren't you? You've got to treat yourself well. You've got to look after yourself. And some people may look at that and think, oh, they love themselves. Too fucking right.
You've got to.
Who else is going to do
several times a day?
Absolutely. Everybody else, especially if you're a little bit different, are going to hate you for it. So you're going to have to love yourself on that battle. Yeah. I agree with that. 100%.
Absolutely.
So what's like some of the other things, mate, that, you know, you've said journaling. Obviously, we've got exercise. What's some other things that you can give advice on or recommend to people to kind of bring back to centre and, you know, that self-love sort of thing?
I think just getting a better understanding for yourself in any way you can, and be willing to dive into different areas. I did breath work recently. I thought that was incredible. Jumping in the ice bath like we did today, for me, that is an absolute game changer. Unfortunately, I can't jump in the sea this time of year in Portugal, but in the winter, it's so refreshing. And I think it's just doing as many different things as you can. Jumping out your comfort zone, and just because someone else says, oh, daft idiot, is that what's he trying that for? Most people have not got a clue or a connection with themselves in any single way. Most people do not understand themselves. The more understanding we have for ourselves, the more chance you have of success and more chance of personal growth. If you don't understand your own emotions, how can you expect to move forward? So breath work, I've not done enough of it. I should do a little bit more of it. Journaling, as we've already covered, the ice bath, game changer. I know you guys are obviously well in with that now, and I think it's something anybody should try, especially earlier in the morning. Putting yourself into a cold bath of ice is something that's going to set you up for the day for a few hours. Them endorphins are going to be kicking. You're going to feel mentally stronger because you've challenged yourself. And I think just obviously working on yourself in a general way. People have big morning routines. I don't have a huge one. I get up in the morning. I spend 10 minutes, what I call just a brain dump. I don't do any, I'm not meditating. I'm just clearing my head at my own 10 minutes. And that's something that just gives me a bit more clearance for the day. I try to work out as much as I can in the morning. It happens sometimes. Sometimes other things get in the way. Regardless, it never gets missed. But one thing for me over anything is that any way you can challenge yourself, put yourself through some hardship, put yourself through some struggle, I think that's the best way to overcome, adapt and move forward in life in any opportunity you can get. And if that's doing something what most people think stupid, do it. There's more reason to do it then.
Amen to that.
Well said,
mate. Amen. What about training? Do you have particular goals and training methods that you generally stick to, or do you ebb and flow based on how you feel and what you've done or what you've not done as much of, or what's your sort of general flavour for training?
Up until 6 or 7 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, 6 to 8 months ago, let's say, a little bit exactly how he said. I used to train on how I feel. I used to do a combination of sort of hypertrophy, bodybuilding, strength training with a lot of functional training, some cardio involved. I suppose coming from a rugby background, we like anything what challenges us. I did get into a little bit of a plateau, like say 2 years ago, my training become a little bit stalemate. Always, I've never missed training, just a part of who I am, like you guys will agree. It's just something we do. It's inbred into us. I did plateau, I was bored. And so what I've decided to do in the last 6 to 8 months is start training specifically for high rocks competitions, which has been fantastic for me as an ex-athlete. It's brought back that competitive edge. It's really, really reignited sort of the competition, the will to push no matter what. And that's been something which has just become the form of my training now. With a lot of running, I'll be completely honest, I had the mindset that I hated running. I never run. I do some short distance interval sprints, long distance run. No, it's crap. You don't need to do it. Now I'm running almost a marathon every single week in terms of my training program. So my training at the moment is based around 3 runs a week. I'll do an interval based training, which is programmed in week on week to change. I'm wanting to get faster, be able to run for longer in endurance. So this current week, this has been 1,000 meters split into 8 efforts, 240 rest in between. And then I'll do a long zone 2 run, which could be, it can be anywhere from sort of just 70 to 80 minutes. It might be a specific 14K run, for example. And then I'll do another interval-based training at the end of the week. And then the rest of my training is a combination of strength training, which is now 4 sessions a week with sort of a Metcon EMOM AMRAP finisher at the end. And I've seen a massive change in my body. I'm probably 10 kilos lighter in the last 6 months, what I have been for years. I usually walk around, as we were saying earlier, about 85, 86 kilos. I'm now down at 76. Feel like a little boy, especially stood outside of you two today. But it's paid off. And, and in terms of what I wanted to do for my training now, and get faster, get better at IROX and this hybrid training, it's definitely paid off. Mm. You can eat a lot more and stay lean and much easier, that's for sure.
What are your weak points?
Calves, legs, everything that we don't want to train over the years. But I'm ridiculously strong, without sound, blowing my own trumpet on that. When I was playing rugby, I've always been, even with the biggest lads in the teams, legs and upper body, like, silly strong. I can even, for example, now, we just jumped in the other day, did a strength-based session. I'm still benching like 140, and I can squat up to 180, 200. But I suppose
that's ridiculous at that weight.
For the way I am now, yeah,
200. You're a dung beetle.
Yeah, I am. Strength's always been one of my main parts, and to be able to still hold on to it to a certain extent in my training now, especially at 76 kilos, it's been a bit of a shock. But that's come down to, again, years of training. Probably something we can relate back to a lot of people wanting to get back in shape. Forget I started, probably first went into a gym at 12 years of age. I'm 35 this year. It's been a long time training. Mm. You're building up a lot over that time with, if you've had the consistency.
Do you prefer your high rocks condition or 7 months ago condition?
Depends.
Body and mind.
When I look back at photo and ran my arm outside him today, probably 7 or 8 months ago. Obviously, the abs are on point. It's been, in terms of dieting now, I can eat a hell of a lot more calories, but that's just because of the simple, the output I'm putting on. My food's generally always clean. I've had a nice pizza and I think we're having a curry tonight. It's kind of standard while we're here in Bradford. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. Which is, it's a bonus point because obviously training volumes up a lot more. I'm going to say I'm happy where I am right now. I'm pretty cool because I suppose I stay lean year round. I pride myself on being able to have a six pack year round. Mm. I'm much, much leaner now and I'm much hell of a lot more flexible, but I'm really enjoying my training. Mm. So from a fitness standpoint, my actual conditioning, I'm probably fitter than I've ever been, even when I was training for the world record burpees and even back when I was playing rugby professionally. I'm probably fitter now than I ever have been, awesome. Which is pretty good at.
Yeah.
Now we're getting at back end of us, close to the 40 mark anyway.
Steady. Yeah, steady.
You're only 28, aren't you?
Yeah. Just turned, yeah.
So looking good, mate.
High rocks, though. Like, I'm training for High Rocks now as well, and I'm loving it. Like I say, I've probably never been fitter than I am right now as well.
Yeah.
And
your running's exceptional at the minute.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, exceptional.
Give you a fiver after.
Yeah.
In terms of having that tangible goal to work towards at the end, so like you've stopped playing rugby, I've stopped playing football now, and then someone mentioned this High Rocks to me, and I was like, oh, hello, competition. Just missing that bit of competition, you know, and having that High Rocks, that game day, knowing that you're going to be in front of loads of people performing, that gives you some drive, doesn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. It honestly, that recognition of that competitive edge in me is just being, I'm being so obsessed, but in a good way. We need that obsession. I'm very, can be obsessive anything. Don't get me wrong, I've had times in my life where that addictive personality, the obsession can put me in some shit places, or I can really use it as my fuel now to obviously move forward and start doing what I've done again. But yeah, the buzz of the IROX event's incredible. There's a hell of a lot of people doing it, I think literally thousands. It's run incredibly well, and it's kind of fit for everybody as well, which is a great thing. So you're seeing people from complete beginners to high level athletes, which is, it's fantastic. And then if you've got that, what we have, coming from a competitive background, and you play football, play rugby, played anything, you've stopped doing that, it's great. And it's one of the reasons now I've kind of transitioned over to training a lot of ex-athletes, getting a lot of rugby players on board that have played at top level professional. We've got some footballers involved. I've got Rugby Union Australian International and his wife, who's with a water polo gold medalist. But these guys are all wanting to come on board and travel with us doing IROX, which is great for the business, the brand and everything else. But it's just a real community thing. And I suppose when you've always been part of a team environment, you thrive off other people as well. I've always been like the captain of the team, so I've always loved that leadership. But when you start bringing people up around you, you see them developing and progressing and getting faster, and that buzz and that sort of togetherness, it's that in itself as well has been brilliant to be part of again.
It is special. Doing things in communities and teams is so much more impactful. You know, I've done a few solo events now, boxing, CrossFit, as an individual, and it just doesn't quite tick the same box. Even though I've done well, it's just the fulfillment side of it. After it, it's like, hey, I'm on my own. Hey, do you know you haven't gone through it with other people? I think it's just
going into trenches.
It's very special when you go into, like you say, into the trenches with others, and you come through that adversity together. There's no better feeling.
Ah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I can't agree with you anymore in that. In terms of our community as well, with the clients, we've got clients from all over the world, and that's something I've always wanted to do, was always being part of a team. I lost that, and when you retire, you lose that togetherness, the accountability, the support you have from your other teammates, your peers.
And getting called out
when you're on bullshit. I know for a fact I've spent 2 years of being a right soft twat. Like, I just didn't push myself to my limits. And when I did the burpees world record, for example, it was lonely. It was a lonely thing to do. You imagine 7 or 8 hours, especially in pitch black sometimes, doing that. It's a lonely thing to do. When you have people supporting you around you, and you can be a leader like you are when you're a coach and doing what we do, and you can pull people up with you, it just makes everything a bit more worthwhile. And I think community is everything, in all honesty. Any way you can build a community and build a togetherness of people, it's something that, you need to be part of. It's something special, it really is.
What's next for you now then, buddy? What is the plan, if there is one? Like you say, from week to week,
ahead.
It could change, but we don't want to divulge too much.
How long have we got here?
There's something big going on in the Algarve, a little birdie told me.
Just recently, this is really new. We're bringing something to the Algarve. It's not nailed in. It's going to happen. It's a process at the moment. Everything's in place with myself and one of my business partners, that we're going to be bringing something there, which is, it could really put Algarve on the map, for example. And it's something I'm super excited about. It's in the realms of what I'm doing. It's kind of half and half. It's what I do and something what it's completely opposite to what I'm doing. Still very much around health and fitness in every single way. We can't put any spoilers out yet, and I don't like to say too much. Anything, sometimes things can fall flat on the face. But at the moment, it's just a case of finding a few key areas without rushing into it, but making sure when it happens, it's going to be on the big scale that we want it to be. So it's exciting. I think it's going to be probably a 12 to 18 month project, but it's going to be good. I mean, I found Portugal as my home right now, that's for certain. Met a beautiful woman who can organise everything for me and get me on the right flights to the right places much better than I do. And I've definitely somewhere I've obviously spent the last 8 years want to set up as home, and there's no better base to have than Portugal. It's an amazing place. We bring quite a lot of clients out. We just did an event last week with his clients on, 2 weeks ago, on a boat party, which is quite good for a fitness coach, taking everyone on a boat, getting pissed, and they loved it. So yeah, we built a community.
I saw that looked epic.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Yeah. Another one again in September. You'll both have to come over for that one.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a great base, great place to live. Sun shining a little bit more than it does here on most days. So no, I'm happy and excited to see what's going to happen in the future moving forward.
Awesome. We're looking forward to that. As long as we have an invite,
we're all good. Yeah, yeah. We'll get you on the boat in September, no doubt.
Bring some tubs.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Where do we find you, Ryan? And you know, where do you hang out on social media and what's your handles? And yeah, is there anything else that we need to know about to help to promote your business and what you're doing?
Tell us
now
your main businesses. And
so, main business is the online coaching program I have, Ready for Success program, where I coach ex-athletes and career-driven individuals, business owners, entrepreneurs. We have an online community of people from all over the world. My idea is exactly what it says on the team. We want to get people ready for success, whatever that means to them. In terms of the ex-athletes, what I've found, this has been a recent transition for me. Someone like myself stopped playing rugby, lose that togetherness, lose that community, lose the accountability and support. And I found that a lot of the guys, especially the ex-rugby guys I used to play with, completely lose the way, in a bad way. Yeah. Drugs, alcohol, they lose. It's all they've known. So I've been working very closely with a lot of guys to help them again now. And a lot of sort of business owners and entrepreneurs, because I've really transitioned into a businessman over the last few years. I've took on mentors myself, because the only way I realised I can scale my own business is to bring a team, build a team around me. And then obviously the more team I have, the easier it's to build my team now in the community and help people as well. So main platform is Instagram. It's RyanSmith_fitness. And then I'm just on Facebook as well. We've got a podcast we've just started recently. We're just pushing into that a little bit more as well. Probably a little bit on YouTube, but not too much. We've just still growing the team as we are at the moment. We've got a team of 6 or 7 people now, but there's a lot of people coming on board. So we just want to progressively grow. But Instagram's the main place where you'll find a lot about me.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much for your
time,
Ryan.
Thank you, boys
and gentlemen. Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith.
Thank you, guys, for listening.
Awesome.
Cheers, boys. Yes.
You've been listening to the Immerse podcast with Alex O'Keefe and Dan Ramsden. If you're enjoying these conversations, you can follow us on all major streaming platforms and get ready to immerse yourself into the upcoming and exciting conversations that we have in store for you. In addition to this, if you're looking to enhance your performance and overall well-being, you can follow our recovery brand at Immerse Recovery on all social media platforms. Alternatively, you can visit www.immerserecovery.co.uk.